Cultural critics worry that the terms of this debate mark a fundamental shift in understanding the uses and definitions of copyright law.
The purpose of copyright is to disseminate information, to disseminate culture.
Kimberly McLeod, a communications professor at the University of Iowa, has written extensively on what he says is the record industry's attempt at undermining the historical interpretation and value of copyright laws.
No copyright holder has the power to have complete control over their copyrighted good. Yes, copyright does provide temporary legal protection, but there has to be a little push and pull. Book publishers went after public libraries saying that if anyone can check out a single copy of a book and multiple people can do this, it's going to put the publishing industry under. And that didn't happen, of course.
Meanwhile, the Record Industry Association of America has not made clear the criterion for how many songs downloaded to a user's computer merit a lawsuit. With thanks to Brendan Sweeney from Pacifica Station WBAI in New York City, I'm Jackson Allers for Free Speech Radio News.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York, where it's 7 o'clock on the nose, time for another edition of Off the Hook. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Manuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so, and we've got a full cast of characters tonight, our first show in a couple of weeks. Got a lot to talk about, as always. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you. Sorry I've been away.
You've been away for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lots to do.
It's good to have you here, and I'm sure you have a lot to tell us as well, including plans for the summertime, which we have stretched out ahead of us. Mike's here as well. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
How you doing? And all kinds of other people too. Jim, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
That's good. And Bernie S. joins us on the phone. Bernie, how you doing?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Whose birthday?
Yeah.
Well, it's not my birthday.
It was actually last week was Emmanuel Goldstein's 100th birthday.
Oh, you know, I think you're confused. It's George Orwell.
George Orwell's 100th birthday.
Yeah, not Emmanuel Goldstein. George.
His father, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I guess I'm a creation of George Orwell. It's a fitting purpose for me. 100 years. It would have been nice to have been on the air, I guess, during that particular time. But, you know, we'll get the 200, I'm sure. If it falls on a Wednesday. So, Bernie, what's this I hear? That the Laszlo broke your ankle? Or what's going on?
Oh, man. I don't know if you're going to say that in the air. Well, I was hanging out with our sometime guest, Laszlo, here in Philadelphia.
And things just got out of hand,
Saturday night. Yeah. Well, he had a spare ticket for a Grateful Dead concert, so, but now they're called The Dead.
Yeah.
So we went and,
Well, they're not grateful anymore?
I guess not. They've lost their gratefulness, maybe.
Okay, they're just dead. All right, fine.
But not their style.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, there was a it got kind of like a Who concert towards the end with lots of people pushing and shoving and twisted my ankle.
Well, why did Lee break your ankle, though? Was it just it got out of hand?
It was lots of people pushing and shoving at the end trying to get on the boat back across the river. And
oh, I thought, see, the way I thought it, you two got into it, and, you know, he just, like, you know, snapped your limbs and things like that.
Cause,
Not at all. Laszlo, when he gets angry, can cause all kinds of damage.
My money would have been on Ed, though.
Yeah, oh, I would have been on Ed, too, but if you catch Ed by surprise, you can do a lot of damage.
Ah.
We probably shouldn't be talking about these tactics over the air, but Ed, how you doing? I mean, how are you going to recover? Are you going to be able
I'm
to go
fine.
To...
I'm fine. I'll just be on crutches for a few weeks.
Uh-huh. But you're going to go to the chaos camp in Germany in August, right?
I will have been recovered by then.
Good, okay. And hopefully you won't break anything else before then.
Let's hope not.
All right.
I've been injured far worse than this, so this is nothing.
That's certainly true, but, you know, it doesn't mean that you should be, you know, having other limbs broken as well. Speaking of which,
Ed, do we have all of our tickets and arrangements, or are we still working on
that?
We shouldn't be talking about that over there.
All right, all right. Well,
I mean, you know,
yeah.
As far as what
we're looking forward to this. I know that.
Yeah,
that is. What are you handing me?
We're just trying to confuse you.
Oh, okay. It's working.
All right. Well, so far, Barney, Laszlo, Jeff, myself, Mike, you're going over there as well to the Chaos Camp.
Singapore Airlines.
I don't know why you're doing that.
Singapore Airlines,
Germany? I'm so amused that it's random.
Singapore Airlines stops in Germany.
No.
Amsterdam.
Okay, which is not in Germany. Okay, I see what you're going to do.
But Singapore's a nice airline.
Take the train.
I don't know.
It's not a bad choice.
Well, I've got quite a travel itinerary planned. I'm going to be away for a while. I usually like to go away for a while because I get my head back together again, you know, after being here for too long. And I'm going to be wandering around.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Iceland?
No, but I'll pass it on the way.
Well, so will you all.
Yeah, well, that's as close as I'm going to get to it, though. Afterwards I'm going to be heading east. I figured, you know, I'd get on the train in Berlin and head east and see where it goes. And I'm told it goes to Poland. And then from there I'm going to be wandering up to that little tiny part of Russia, you know. Leo, you should know this, right? Because you're from Russia. What's that little part of Russia called? The one next to Lithuania?
Moldova?
You know, the little tiny sliver.
I haven't looked at a world map and...
It's your country, for God's sake. You don't know where... It's Kaliningrad, that's it. You've never heard of it? I don't believe it.
Well, that's the city. It's a
section. It could be a country. If they want it to be a country,
right.
It's a perfect country
to have.
It's
about the size of the Baltics.
Because it's not that big, but it's separated from Russia by Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, and...
The Baltics.
Yeah, and you know, it could be a country if they wanted
to
be.
The names are all different, like in Russian, not all of them, but quite a few of them, actually.
Yes, that's true, but, you know...
And they change almost every couple of years.
I did describe where it was, though. Now, but anyway, I'm going to be going through there as well, up to Finland. Which, Red Hack, I believe you have some contact up there in Finland.
Yeah.
You're gonna hook me up with some places to go.
Of course.
Then over to St. Petersburg, Moscow, and through Minsk. Does anybody know where Minsk is?
Odessa? I mean, Ukraine? Wait, hold on.
No. See, I cannot believe
this. Sorry.
I figured I talked about
my head is going. I just woke up like a couple of hours ago.
So. Uh-huh. So did I.
That's
we all did. We all just woke up.
I didn't wake up.
Is Minsk the capital of Belarus?
That's very good. You see, Jeopardy Jim here knows his facts. That's why you are on Jeopardy.
Years ago.
You could be on Jeopardy again.
No, I don't hit the age for another few, several years.
Oh, there's a limit to
that. You have to be over 50.
You have to be over 50?
To be on again. I won't be eligible again until I'm over 50.
But that's not...
Unless the show dies and comes back.
It's time between when you were on last. It's not... You have
no,
to be
no, no,
50.
No. The same set of producers, mm-hmm. you're ineligible for life unless you qualify by the seniors tournament.
What if you went to another country and went on their...
I could do that.
Yeah, do that.
Canada. Do they have it in Canada?
Well, I know what they have in Canada because I get the Canadian TV. They have Canadian Idol now.
No.
You believe that. Yeah. Sometimes I'm very happy seeing Canadian TV, and sometimes I'm very sad. And this is one of the times I'm very sad seeing it, Canadian Idol.
Well, I'd look forward to Big Brother in an igloo.
That
would work. But Canadian Idol? No, you're right. Sad.
Well, Jim, are you free to travel to other countries?
I was going to say, that can't happen for a while.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
By that time, I'll be eligible for Senior Jeopardy in Canada.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. Well, anyway, the fact is, that's what I'm going to be doing, and that's going to take a few weeks. Actually, Leo, I should ask you this, too, because maybe you'll know more about this. How do you get into these countries? Because you have to get, like, a visa and things like that.
Personally, I have just a dual citizenship.
All right. Well, I don't have that.
Okay. So you go to probably the Russian consulate on 96th Street.
Uh-huh.
And you can go like a month in advance to get your visas.
Well, that would be now.
2 weeks in advance. Or if you pay $300, you can get it all in 1 hour.
I don't think it's worth it.
How Russian, really? $300, what, in an alleyway or something?
No. I mean, it's the official policy.
Okay. This is common for a number of countries.
All right. I need to know about Belarus, too, since they decided to split from Russia.
They have a mission to the UN. Call them. They'll put you over to the consulate, which may not be in New York.
Well, this is going to be a lot. Just getting the right papers together is going to be an adventure in itself.
Now, Moscow, I know that.
I'll know about Moscow, too, in a couple of months. Okay, so enough about our travel plans. But for those of you who want to go to the Chaos Camp, go to www.cc. Actually, you don't need the www. Just go to ccc.de/camp and learn everything about the Hacker Camp that will be taking place in a field near Berlin on August, 7th, 8th,
8th
9th,
and
10th.
Yeah.
7, 8, 9, 10, right? 4 days. Thursday through Sunday, second weekend of August. It's well worth going. It's, the kind of thing where they set up a city, they set up a an internet camp of sorts, have talks, have all kinds of fun things going on. And, yeah, it's in Germany. They do speak German there. So you can't blame them for that.
They speak some English.
They all speak English. Everyone there speaks English and is...
I'm speaking of the tracks, though.
The tracks, yeah. The actual talks will probably all be in English, or at least the vast majority of them. But even if you're, finding German spoken at some of the tracks, you'll find English spoken, in the fields and places where people congregate. So it'll be a great thing. It'll change your life.
You could learn German.
You could learn German, too, but somehow I doubt most of our listeners will do that in the next month. We'll see. Okay, so what's new this week? Okay, this is the thing that everyone's talking about. The Do Not Call Registry. Have you heard about this?
I registered.
You registered.
I did that already. First day.
I've got something to say to you. You may not be getting exactly what it is you planned on. Let me give a little background first. This is from the from one of the newspapers. The Federal Communications Commission is not really involved. This is the Federal Trade Commission that's involved. And they're
both are involved.
I'm sorry?
Both are involved.
Well,
certain regulations the FCC had to jump in so they could regulate some aspects of this.
Yeah, but supposedly there's some kind of rift going on between them, the FTC and the FCC. I don't know what exactly is going on here. But the point is the FTC is regulating this this particular Do Not Call Registry, which is not yet available by phone. It will be available by phone soon.
Well, not in this part of the country.
Not in any part of the country.
No, in west of the Mississippi, you can call them right up.
Really, as of when?
Yeah, as of whenever they opened up. But us Easterners have to wait a little while.
Okay, that I did not know. I thought it was not available until later in the month. Well, in any event, let's see what we get if we call them. Hang on, Bernie. We're going to get a dial tone here. All right. And we'll call their toll-free number, which is a 888 number. And let's see what we get.
Now, you're saying I'm not going to be on?
Telephone registration for the National Do Not Call Registry will be available in your area soon. If you want to register now, please use our website at donotcall.gov. Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, I think that's a great...
La inscripción telefónica en el registro nacional no llame estará disponible en su área
próximamente.
Si usted desea inscribirse ahora, por favor use nuestro sitio web cuya dirección es donotcall.gov. Gracias. Adios.
Okay.
How do they say it in English? Do not call.
Let's go public service and tell them the number to call.
1-888-382-1222.
That's easy.
Yeah, well, it's easy.
I did it through the web, though.
Uh-huh.
I got my email confirmation. What kind of surprise do you have for me?
What verification, Jeff, did you use to make sure that you were doing that to your phone number?
Ah.
There's no verification at all. In fact, I could go on right now and delist you.
Well, but
here's what they do. They say on the website your email address must be correct. All that means is you must be able to get email at it. If you go onto the section that says delete a registration, and you enter a phone number that's already registered, it'll ask for an email address, it'll send you email, it'll give you a URL to click on, and as soon as you click on that URL, your number is deregistered.
Oh,
it's
my.
As simple as that. I did it already.
Do I have to do it again now?
Well, no, not to you. Oh, okay. I did it to somebody else.
Well, now, here's an exercise for all the script kiddies to make a little program that does that en masse. Like they haven't thought of it already in the 10 seconds.
And in reverse, you can also register people not to receive any kind
that's
of...
That's a better idea for you script kiddies out there.
Yeah, so you could actually get an entire exchange to not get any calls from telemarketers. And you can do three at a time. They say there's a limit to how many you can do, but I imagine you can do, you can just keep changing your email address a little bit, you know, getting a new Hotmail account and register an entire state in the course of a night.
And that would truly be a noble thing.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not passing judgment on what's good and what's bad.
I'm not suggesting this.
I'm just telling you what's possible and how this system is really stupid. And
And what if someone wants to get a call about the miracle knife? I mean, you're depriving them of...
Well, that's true as well.
The other problem is I've heard that Yahoo Mail, their spam blocker, blocks the verification. Email verification. So that's
I got my verification and I printed it out.
Yahoo?
No.
Well, it's only Yahoo.
Well, regardless, it's not a very secure system as far as that goes. The other thing is that, listen to this. This is under this section, what about the privacy of my information? The only personal identifying information that will be shared with telemarketers is the phone number you register. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, right.
Think about that. You want these people not to call you, and that's the information that they're giving to these people is your phone number.
They have to know which one to take off the list.
Yeah, now listen to the next part. Covered telemarketers are required to download registered phone numbers every 3 months. Now, do I have to spell it out?
So you have 3 months during which they can still.
There is going to be a list available to these scum, covered telemarketers. I'm sorry, this is the way I feel about them. They will be able to access this list. Do you think maybe other people will be able to access this list as well? And that list will have everybody's phone number who values their privacy. Okay, so instead of just being someone anonymous, you will now be highlighted as somebody that cares if they get a phone call, you know, during dinner time asking them if they want to buy you a Ginsu knife or something.
Well, I see two problems. The first one is, I read this in an article today, that this makes spam legal. If you don't sign up on the Do Not Call list...
It's an opt-out thing.
Yeah, you can get like now thousands of spam. And the companies, once they get your phone number, they can just use an out-of-country...
Now, here's the other thing. Law enforcement officials may access the phone numbers as part of investigations. You're basically just putting yourself in a list that I'm not sure it's a good idea to be in the first place.
A better idea that someone... It's more fodder to suggest that somebody should just do it for their whole state.
Now, here's the other thing. Some questions they ask. Can I register my cell phone number? Yes. Can I register all my family and friends? No. You should register only your own telephone number.
Should,
exactly.
Well,
so the answer is really yes.
Why would you do your cell number anyway? It's protected.
How's it protected?
Yeah,
well,
right.
They don't call your cell number.
I've gotten telemarketing calls on my cell phone. Not very often, but I've gotten them.
Seriously? Yeah.
I don't think they know it's a cell phone number. Has anyone else gotten one of those?
The exchanges are well known. So.
Emmanuel,
it's supposed to. Go ahead.
You're saying, you know, we're putting our number on a list and giving our information away, but if you have a registered phone number anyway, it's in the phone book, so it's not like it's new information or not public in the first place.
Now, here's the other thing. You can click on... I'm going to do this. I'll go back to this story in a moment.
Microphone.
Yeah. I'm going to look at this this site live and look at your number. Actually, you're going to come over here and type in your number because I don't want to... Have to guess what it is. And we're going to see if you're actually registered. Do not call.gov.
You can look and see if people are registered.
That's what we're going to find out right now.
Well, this is
go to verify registration. All right. Now just
you need
in.
Your email address to verify your registration.
Oh, no, you need an email address. That's what
right,
you
so you have, you have to use the same email address.
No, Bernie, you do not. That's the thing. That's how I deleted someone before. I deleted it using a completely different email address.
All right. So anyone getting one of these files, any of these telemarketers has this file.
Does anybody...
Can delist everybody on it.
So any telemarketer could delist it, theoretically.
Exactly.
Does anybody here have the ability to get email right now? Anybody?
Yes.
You do right now?
Yes.
I do.
Don't put mine on there. Jeez.
Well, I just want to put an email address. I want to put an email address on there. That's not the same email address you used before, right?
Right.
It is.
No, it isn't.
Okay. Then put that in, see if you get a verification, and then we'll see if you get delisted. And that's the case. This system is just very poorly designed. And by the way, the URL for telemarketers to use, which won't be available till September, is telemarketers.donotcall.gov. My God, I can't believe that after all this.
Now, we should investigate that and see if we have to be a registered telemarketer or any fool can do it.
Wait, if it's September, that means the list will not go into use until September.
Right, that's
right. There's a as I pointed out before, there's a three-month window. Right.
Yeah, no, I think the law comes into effect in September, and then they have to remove them by 3 months later, which is January.
Well, so hang on. What is it that that Jeff? What are you calling my attention to here?
Well, it seems that I put in the wrong email address, and it wouldn't.
Where? Wait. Go back. Where did it say you put in the wrong email address? Where did it say that? No, it says step two: make sure your information is correct. Your email address must be correct to verify your registration. Verify. That's all you got to do. See, you think by reading that it has to match. It doesn't. It does not say your email address does not match. Now, you should receive an email from them in a few minutes, according to that site. So let's see what happens.
But that's not a valid email address.
Oh, you should have entered a valid one.
That's what I asked you, if you can get email here.
I can get email.
I can get email, but you said not to put my real email in there.
No, I said not to put the same email address that you used already.
Oh.
Now you messed up the whole system.
Do you have another email? I do.
I do.
Well, okay. Why don't you guys exchange email information on the other side of the room while we...
By the way, Emmanuel, I don't think you've mentioned that... Who is administering this list, by the way?
Who is administering this list?
AT&T, one of the worst telemarketing offenders.
I had no idea. I didn't know that.
Absolutely. In fact, when the FTC and the FCC put out bids, they said that AT&T submitted the cheapest bid, so they went with them.
How about that?
Is this the fox in the hen house or what?
Well, I mean, if you're registering your number with this thing, I would definitely think twice because it's sort of like, you're just waving a red flag and
well,
getting
you know what
attention.
It's almost like? It's almost like responding to a spam saying, don't send me in more spam.
Yes, precisely. Except the .gov people are involved in it now.
Which is worse.
And you know what's going to happen? Hackers are going to be blamed for breaking the whole system when all we're doing is showing how bad it is and how it can be abused. I mean, just having those lists available in the first place to telemarketers, imagine feeding that into a script and deregistering everybody on that list in a night. You could do it. You could easily do it. Unreal. I wonder if it's a crime to register people who didn't want to be registered.
Wire fraud.
Probably is. Okay, so that's something we're going to be working on next hour or so. The MTV story continues to be something that a lot of people write in about. That's where 2600 is not allowed to be mentioned on MTV.com if you get an account there. This person says about the MTV restriction on 2600, can't one just hack around it by spelling out the word 26 or 2600 or 2X, 6X0, etc., or something like that? After all, if there's no link, isn't that protected speech? Very funny.
The answer to the question is MTV is a private corporation. They can do whatever they want.
Yes, they can. But
and they do.
We can certainly talk about all we want, and their users can harass them about it all they want as well, which I understand is happening now. This person got this reply back when he posted something called Fight for Your Rights. Not an hour went by after I had posted when I got the following email from MTV. Dear user, your post has been deleted or edited because it contains language or statements or websites that endorse illegal activities or hatred. Further violations of the MTV terms of service could result in the closure of your MTV.com member account. Please review both terms of service, blah, blah, blah. And the message that the person had posted was this: if you want a message from a moderator, then go and put 2600.com into your member profile in the scoop section. 2600.com is what free speech is all about, and MTV thinks that 2600.com is not appropriate. Perhaps a moderator can comment on this. And within an hour, that post had been deleted. This other person wrote in and changed all the zeros in 2600 to O's. And magically, my profile was no longer hidden. I checked that merely editing the profile and not touching 2600 still left the profile hidden before I changed 2600 portions. Then I proceeded to change all the O's and the keywords portions back to zeros. And lo and behold, the profile remained visible. So possibly a script could be written to change this portion of the profile on a daily basis and keep 2600 alive and well in MTV's sight. As for the scoop portion of the profile, it remains hidden no matter what I enter. I'm guessing this part of the profile is more closely monitored. To test this, I am again changing the zeros to O's in that portion. We shall see what comes of it. Currently, the scoop portion reads 2600.com, hack. You know, hacker is like one of the words they allow as a description of the person. You can be a hacker. They actually allow that. Every mention of 2600.com.
Well, you could have stopped inciting hatred.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty unbelievable.
We hate stupidity. How's that?
We shouldn't. We love, you know,
all people.
Everyone.
Anyway, for those people interested in contacting them directly, I did a whois on MTV.com, and it goes to 1515 Broadway, 8th floor, which is where they are. Phone number 212-846-3367 and 3368. And 917, this might be someone's cell phone, 917-322-3600. Well, it's what's listed in their records here, MTV Online.
But don't call them up with words of hatred.
No, don't do that. And they might be people who have nothing to do with policy. They might be running the computers, but they might know who's dealing with the policy, and you might be able to get somewhere that way. Jeff, are you getting anywhere on the donotcall.gov site?
I did get caught up on my email.
Oh, that's good. Have you actually sent the email yet?
Yeah.
Did it get through?
I'm just waiting to see if it comes up.
Okay. Our phone number, 212-209-2900. Let's see. Mike, you've got a story. Actually, okay, Bernie, you've got a story, and Mike, you've got a story after that.
Okay.
Go ahead. For Bernie, that's you stole your name. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, me first?
Yes, Bernie, that's your name.
Oh, okay. There's something really interesting going on with intellectual property in Japan right now, or alleged...
Can we use a word that means something other than intellectual property?
We'll get a nitpick tonight, is that it?
Yeah.
We'll call them nits.
Okay. Yeah. Continue, Bernie.
Okay. This is an article in the Wall Street Journal. A group of Japanese publishers launched a campaign Tuesday to stop people from using camera-equipped cell phones to photograph magazines instead of buying them from the newsstand. As camera phone technology improves to produce sharper images, more people are using them in bookstores for digital shoplifting, said a spokesman from Japan Magazine Publishers Association. So for the next 2 months, the association is posting notices at bookstores across Japan telling customers that such usage of their phones is illegal. So
digital shoplifting, huh?
Yeah, so there's also been reports in Japan of people using them to photograph up women's skirts or furtively snapshots in off-limit areas like courtrooms or museums. So a company called J-Phone,
Who's
the cell phone unit of Japan Telecom, they design all their handsets to sound an alert when the shutter is pressed, like the old mechanical click, so you can't be furtive about it.
Uh-huh.
So anyhow, I thought this kind of interesting that people are taking pictures of magazines in bookstores and newsstands rather than buying them with their cell phone, and they just read them later or email them to themselves or someone else.
That's pretty incredible, I think. Now, Mike, you've got a story.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court has been busy the past couple of weeks. Came up with a couple of good decisions, but one really bad one for the Internet. There was this law called the Children's Internet Protection Act, CIPA, not to be confused with Children's Online Protection Act or the Communications Decency Act or all these laws which were unconstitutional. This time the forces of censorship won. What this law does is if a public library receives a government grant, a federal government grant to provide Internet access, they are now required to install filtering software, censoring software, on all Internet terminals in that library.
Now, this filtering software they have to install, is it something that has to be a particular kind? What defines filtering software?
I believe, it doesn't say here, but I believe some government official gets to choose, so I can't just write some silly filter that only blocks, 2600.com and lets the rest of the web in.
Mm-hmm.
It has to actually, do sort of what it claims to do. Of course, the N2H2 company, which makes BESS, and WebSense Inc. and Surf Control PLC are the three listed in the Reuters article. They're approved despite the fact that, as our listeners are I'm sure aware, their software doesn't work.
You know, I mean, why doesn't somebody in the community write a filter that simply filters out, you know, they can filter out pornography for the libraries, can filter out commercial sites so people don't wind up buying things from libraries, which, you know, maybe is inappropriate in my eyes. You know, impose different values. See who objects.
Well, because such, you know, it's not possible to hire enough people to review every site on the web.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to rely on, even if you had people with perfect judgment, so they have to rely on these automated technologies, and the automated technologies don't work. They block out, you know, sites with health information. They miss some sites which are actually contain pornography.
Mm-hmm.
There's often ways to get around them. There's not always enough ways to get around them for, you know, legitimate users.
In short, they wind up doing more bad than good.
Well, I don't claim they do any good.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like using a shotgun as a fly swatter. You might block the site you want to block, but you'll block a whole lot of other sites that should not be blocked.
Yeah. The one small piece of reassuring news is the vote was 6-3,
mm-hmm.
but two of the justices who voted with the majority, whose names are somewhere, not in this article, they said that they, in their opinion, the law requires that a patron wanting to use the internet for bona fide research purposes has to get sites unblocked immediately and without too many questions asked. So it's possible that if there were a library that refused to do this, they could still be subject to what's called an as applied challenge, saying, you know, the law as you're using it in this library is unconstitutional. Whereas the facial challenge, which was this law is just bad, get rid of it, just failed.
Jeff, you're monitoring your email now. What's going on?
Yeah, well, the last time I didn't get the email till the next day, so I don't really expect it.
Really? I got mine very quickly.
Did you?
This is Juno mail you're using, correct, Jeff?
That's correct.
Juno.
That could be the reason.
Yeah, that's definitely the reason. But I imagine our listeners out there can experiment with this system, you know, to their heart's content and give us the results as well, maybe even before this show is over. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. Let's read a couple of quick letters. We were talking about, last time we were on the air, talking about how AT&T is now allowing T-Mobile customers to use its network. And Danny B. writes in saying, with OmniPoint at least, or now it's T-Mobile, you can simply send an email to simunlock@t-mobile.com. M-O-B-I-L-E, that is. If you've been a customer for a long time, they'll send you the unlock code, which is what you need in order to be able to switch networks. You need, if your phone is SIM-locked, you'll need to be able to unlock it. Some companies allow this, some companies don't. Apparently, T-Mobile will if you've been a customer for a long time. So I'd like to know how people fare with that. This person was messing around in the voicemail on their Sprint PCS phone. They discovered something interesting. There is an option to enable expert mode. I haven't totally explored the functionality it enables, but I do know it changes the directions in voicemail to shorter messages. For instance, Claire's message. Is it Claire that does the voicemail, too?
You're looking at me.
I
don't think it's the same voice. I think it's somebody else. But anyway, her message, please enter your passcode, becomes passcode. So you save a lot of time. And that mail comes from Corey. Thanks very much for that tip. Yeah, I did check that out a little bit. I haven't.
I did it.
Are you in expert mode now, Barry?
Yes, I am, and it works pretty well. You just hear like a one word brief description instead of this whole long drawn out description that you've heard a million times before.
Right. Well, that's good. And
have
you gotten rid of all the extended instructions for email, for voicemail, when someone leaves you a message?
You mean when other people send me messages?
Yeah, when they, you know, how she gives instructions on what to do. Hit the pound sign when you're finished. Do this, that, you know.
I don't know if this affects what other people hear when they send me a voicemail message.
Okay, maybe you didn't hear the show we did a couple of weeks ago, but you can get rid of that recording so that it's your voice and then a beep and nothing else.
Ah,
yeah.
Well, I'll have to do that also, because that's a good idea.
It's under the greeting section, so you can change that.
I'll do that.
Let's see what
else. Speaking of cell phones, there's a, you know, did you know Verizon finally dropped their opposition to the number portability?
I did hear that, yes.
For the cell phone number portability. So they're the first carrier I know of who has cell phone carrier who's agreed to drop their lawsuits trying to block the number portability rules that the FCC is imposing, and which will go into effect November 26th unless they pay off enough people to delay it a fifth time, I think.
And that means I can keep my Sprint number and not have to use Sprint.
You could use, theoretically, you could use your Sprint PCS number with T-Mobile or some other carrier. It remains to be seen how well this is going to work out. I don't think it'll work perfectly right off the bat, but I think it's a fantastic way to get some real competition going to these companies. The thing I want them to do is to, back in the day with analog cellular, you could buy any cell phone and use it on any network you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But these companies have kind of chosen all their own proprietary technologies for the most part, with T-Mobile being an exception using GSM.
Yeah.
That basically force you to use particular hardware with that network. Remember with the analog cell phones, you could just get it programmed with any number and use it on any cellular carrier in the country? You can't do that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons they're choosing these different protocols and technology. Now, there are some similarities, like, you know, an 800 megahertz CDMA handset could be used with another 800 megahertz CDMA carrier in another market. But there's, you know, you've got TDMA, you've got CDMA, you've got GSM,
mm-hmm.
you've got IDAN, which is what Nextel uses. So it still doesn't give everybody the freedom that they used to have, being able to just move to another carrier. You can bring your phone number, but not your phone.
Right, and not the freedom that most people in the world have, being able to switch companies just by putting a SIM card in their phone.
At will.
With GSM technology. That's one thing I'm looking forward to when I go over to these strange countries I've never been to before, is what kind of GSM technology they have, and if it is pretty much standard with the rest of Europe. So that's something I'll definitely be reporting back on.
Bernie, do me a favor. You're sitting in front of your computer.
Not now. And having a broken ankle, it's hard for me to get back to it.
All right. Never mind. I was going to have you send me an email.
Now, you don't think your email is working, do you?
Well, no. I just something else just popped in.
Why don't you just send one to yourself, Jeff?
Well, he's receiving spam now, I believe, right?
No, that's not spam
okay.
there.
Well, regardless, it's, try unregistering yourself later. You'll see how easy it is.
That's all right. I already unregistered him.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you might have been third in line. Who knows?
That's right.
A couple of the letters, and we'll take some phone calls. I worked for Singular Wireless. I know the T-Mobile network helps our customers in New York with service to have GSM. That's right. If you see a sign for Singular, they're actually using the T-Mobile network. However, in California, Singular Wireless helps T-Mobile customers have GSM. So if you're using T-Mobile out in California, you're actually using Singular. It's the other way around. It was a deal they worked out between the two companies without having to build new GSM networks. From what I've heard, that's a temporary situation, and that there someday will be a separate network for each company, so that's even more of a choice. Here, off the hook, I heard you talking about text messages on the last off the hook. The service I am using, Virgin Mobile, makes it very convenient. Virgin Mobile uses the Sprint cellular network. You can send short messages up to 128 characters to any Virgin Mobile phone from any computer. There is no charge for this service, neither for sending nor for receiving, unlike Sprint. To send a message, you go to www.virginmobileusa.com. Enter the phone number of the Virgin Mobile call, mobile cell phone, rather, type the message and click on send. I imagine you don't even have to have a phone to do that. The message arrives at the cell phone within a minute if the cell phone is turned on. If the phone is off, the message is stored and delivered a few seconds after the phone is turned on. Virgin Mobile service is great if you use the phone infrequently. There is no contract with the provider. Kyocera phone. Is that, am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Formerly Qualcomm.
Okay. After rebates cost around $30, you have to spend for service at least $20 every 3 months or the phone will go dead. You pay 25 cents a minute for the first 10 minutes of usage in a day, then 10 cents a minute, and you can get the current balance for free delivered to your phone. Sprint charges for that, don't they? They charge you to find out how much you owe them.
Yes, or to talk to anybody in customer service.
Uh-huh. Amounts not used in a three-month period carry over to the next period. So that's a scoop on Virgin Mobile. And finally, I called Time Warner Cable New York City to suspend my cable service for a time. The clerk bot asked a few questions to establish my identity, name, address, phone number, account number, etc. She then asked for my date of birth. I hesitated and simply repeated back to her, "Date of birth? Why do you need to know that?" She said she needed it in order to establish my identity. First, I'm almost sure that I've never given my date of birth to Time Warner Cable. Second, why do they need to know this? Do you think there's something more sinister going on than simply a nosy company? I'm thinking of something along the lines of Ashcroft's TIPS program, although I can't for the life of me figure out how a date of birth would help anyone. You may use this on the air, just don't use my name. We wouldn't do that.
Or your birthday.
Yeah, but that's something that I'd like to know if other people have had run-ins, you know, stupid things that people ask you when you're calling for unrelated issues. Jeff, you have
Cheshire, you remember Cheshire Catalyst.
Yeah, hold on one second, Bernie. Jeff has a late...
No. My test worked, but of course I'm going out to someone else's server, and it came right back to the same system, so...
Okay, so you got email from yourself.
Within 60 seconds.
Okay, so you're blaming donotcall.gov for the delay.
So far, yeah.
All right. Okay. Go ahead, Bernie.
Cheshire, you remember, wrote an article in 2600 years ago about your internet birthday. Whereas, you know, when you go on these websites and for verification purposes, you want to put in a date of birth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't use your real date of birth. You consistently use an internet birth date of your choosing.
Right.
And that's what I do with a lot of companies. So, like, you know, if I did business with Time Warner, which doesn't exist here in Philly, but if they did, I would give them my internet birthday, which is a consistent fake birthday that I'm not providing to a government agency, so it's not breaking any laws. So,
well, if you want one that's easy to remember, just January 1st, 1980, you know, the day of the IBM PC.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and, you know, what are they going to accuse you of not using the right one? You know, it's easy to remember. And
now we have to send two cards to him.
212-209-2900. Let's take some phone calls. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I registered at nocallny.com.
Nocallny.com?
That's New York City.
NY.com?
That's just New York.
Okay, but it doesn't sound official. It sounds like a commercial type of...
Well, I got the address out of a Newsday article about the no-call thing.
Uh-huh.
And they said you could also go to www.nocallny.com. And I went there, and I registered without giving my email address. There was a field. Left it blank and got a confirmation on my screen that said my phone number was on their list now.
Really?
So I didn't have to give them the email address. And furthermore, are they going to give the telemarketers your email addresses?
I don't think so. I think they're just going to give them a list of phone numbers, which is bad enough. But what happens if you try to do that again to your phone number? Does it say...
I haven't done that.
Yeah, I think you might be able to get a list yourself of who is registered for this and who hasn't just by trying every number there is.
That could be.
Yeah.
But anyway, and they're going to share this with the national list. They say if you register here, you don't have to register international, and the deadline, or it's going to be, they're collecting until October, and it goes effect November 1st.
Now, this was... Are you sure this is a .com, not a .gov?
.com.
All right. That's interesting.
NoCallNY.com.
Is it .ny.com?
No. NoCallNY.com.
Okay.
Well, here's another one.
All right. Thanks thanks for that information.
Yep.
And I'd like for people listening to... I just lost Bernie.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have my button pressed. Okay, he had something to say too. I got to call him back. But if our listeners out there could look that up for us and see who that is registered to, we'll see if that's actually a commercial establishment or not.
I wouldn't completely trust anything that's like .com because I remember a while ago there was. You remember Internick when that was Internick, and there was actually an Internick.com, which was a company in Australia, and they said to register a domain you paid $300, and what they did is they took the $270 extra dollars and done $30 to Internick. So just because, you know, it says it's something, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's doing what it says.
Uh-huh.
So I don't trust .coms.
What's the classic example? The classic example, of course, whitehouse.gov. And please don't go to whitehouse.com, especially if you're underage.
Whitehouse.org, though, is amusing.
What is that?
Yes, it's a parody. It's right.
The White House. You know, it's an amusing organization, the White House.
All the military sites had .com addresses. Remember when they were advertising, like, goarmy.com and gocoastguard.com?
That's true.
That's weird.
Okay, we're trying to get Bernie back here. And we've brought up the webpage for donotcallny.com. Jeff, why don't you tell us what it is?
From what I can tell here, it's a Consumer Protection Board.
Who are they?
I'm back.
Well, it's okay, Bernie, sorry about
it's
that.
It's got a picture of the governor.
It's got Pataki over here. And
it's probably just a link. It's probably just a link to, an existing .gov site or something, but it looks like it's run by...
Honestly, no, scam artist would have the bad taste to put a picture of Governor Pataki.
Actually, that's what I would do if I was running some sort of scam. I'd make it look official.
Now, Bernie, what did you have to say before we...
I accidentally went to donotcall.com and found it's a site of links, a page of links to the different state do not call lists as well as the federal ones. You might want to go to that right now and check it out.
Okay, well, having a browser in the studio is really distracting, I'll tell you that right now. Where's the mouse?
Thank you.
There's actually another story that I wanted to read, which we had quite a while back, and hopefully I can hit the back key enough times and get there. I'm looking at all Jeff's mail right now. Let's take another phone call while we're doing that. 212-209-2900. Good evening, you're on the air. Oh, great. Let's try over here. And good evening, you're on the air. Same person. How about that? See if we can get this one. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, Emmanuel, what's going on?
How you doing?
Good. This is Earl in Connecticut. I had a comment on a couple weeks ago. I think it might have been on the other show. Somebody had called up, and you were talking about the Sega Dreamcast game system and piracy and whatnot.
Okay.
And I just wanted to add that system definitely did go down because of piracy, or it certainly helped, because it was the first console that you didn't have to hardware modify to get an application to run on. You could buy a stock system and boot a game you downloaded off the Internet.
Uh-huh.
And it quickly helped to kill the system. It created an interesting open source development for it in terms of applications and emulation and whatnot. But it definitely quickly accelerated to the death of the system. I mean, there was French websites that had games for download, and Sega just didn't have the resources that a company like Microsoft has to fight that kind of thing.
Wow. Well, that's sad to hear, I guess. Any comment from your end as to how that kind of thing can be avoided in the future?
Well, I think it had to do with, if I'm not mistaken, Yamaha. They licensed technology from them for the drive itself, and it didn't end up being secure. The current generation of consoles, like the PS2 or the Xbox, you do have to install a chip or have some sort of hardware modification to play copy games or applications. And I think they've pretty much got it down pat. The Xbox has a 2048-bit encrypted key scheme, so you can't run anything on it without modifying. It's essentially the BIOS. You have to put a new BIOS in. But it's easy to do, but it pretty much quells mainstream piracy because you have to have some technical knowledge. But I want to thank you for giving everybody the forum you do on a weekly basis. It's good to have public opinion on the airwaves, and I'm always impressed with the music you're playing, The Towers of Faith by Roger Waters and Point Me at the Sky, all the old Floyd stuff.
Oh, yes.
I just want to add one more thing about the Walmart Corporation. If you guys haven't checked out Walmart, they're a bad company for many, many reasons, and I've currently got a developer trying to build a super Walmart in my backyard, essentially, and there's one less than 10 minutes up the highway, and they want to cluster a Home Depot and basically destroy our small town, and we're fighting the town council and everything else and all the zoning boards, but politics is corrupt from the top all the way down to the bottom, unfortunately.
Well, the people you have to fight are the people that give permission to build these things, because, if Walmart doesn't build, their Kmart will.
There's a Kmart in town, which is hanging by a thread.
They're going to build something there, and you have to fight the people that allow that kind of thing to happen and destroy your neighborhood. Yeah, they get paid off all the time.
Walmart mailed stuff to people in the town, talking about how great it would be, and basically you had forms you can put in for yard signs. So now we have Walmart yes signs all over town, and I went around talking to even some of the small business owners are just completely jaded as to what it's going to do to them and to the community. We have a website. It's the Rockville Concerned Citizens, if I could get that website out there.
Go right ahead.
It has 25 links of just negative things about Walmart in general, but it's rccrd.org. I didn't pick the URL. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
It doesn't, but what is it again?
It's rccrd.org. It stands for Rockville Concerned Citizens for Responsible Development. And it's got, like I said, there's like 25 links on there to other websites that have information about their numerous lawsuits and human rights violations and everything else. They're not a good company in general. But when they're trying to come into your backyard, it's even worse.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Thanks.
Thanks, Emmanuel.
Thanks for calling. Actually, I see on this page I'm looking at that gay rights groups hail Walmart policy. Apparently, they gave gay employees actual rights or something, which is in this country something amazing. But the story that I'm looking at right now is about something that's happening on Sunday. Which I just found out about a little while ago. The government, and listen to this is crazy, the government and private technology experts warned today that hackers plan to attack thousands of websites Sunday in a loosely coordinated contest that could disrupt internet traffic. Organizers established a website called defacers-challenge.com, listing in broken English the rules for hackers who might participate. In broken English, yes. The website appeared to operate out of California and cautioned to deface its crime in apparent acknowledgement that vandalizing internet pages is illegal. The Department of Homeland Security said today it was aware of the hackers' plans, but did not expect to issue any formal public warnings. The Chief Information Officers Council, part of the Office of Management and Budget, cautioned U.S. agencies and instructed experts to tighten security at federal websites. Frankly, hacker challenges occur frequently. We don't think they all rise to the level of a warning. It's just amazing how this has turned into a big story. I'm going to go to that site right now, defacerschallenge.com, and it doesn't go anywhere.
No.
What, they take them down or something?
Yeah.
Wow. Well. Oh, well.
It's obviously been defaced.
It's been defaced, yeah. So that's somebody just makes a page, leaks it to the press, and all of a sudden you have all these people running around going crazy. New York officials urge companies to change default computer passwords, begin monitoring website activities more aggressively, remove unnecessary functions from server computers, apply the latest software repairs from vendors such as Microsoft.
It's just something they should do anyway.
And the prize for participating hackers was 500 megabytes of online storage space. Wow. you know, maybe 15 years ago that was a lot, but now that's nothing. It really is nothing. It made little sense to computer experts. They said hackers capable of breaking into thousands of computers could easily steal that amount of storage on corporate networks. You know what? They could easily have it on their home computers anyway. More stupidity. All right, let's take another phone call. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. Good evening. Let me turn down my radio. I was calling about the Sprint portability.
Okay.
I don't know if you've noticed that on your Sprint billing. I noticed it, and I was very pissed off.
47 cents.
Well, for me, it's 94 cents, coupled with the other federal charge, pooling charge. They went to charge us, and I asked the representative, why are we being billed for it if it doesn't take effect until November? They're going to be, well, they already started. This is the July billing cycle.
And what did they tell you?
Well, he couldn't tell me anything. He said that they have to pay for it. But when I read the disclaimer, I said, it says in your disclaimer, you have to pay for it, but you don't have to pass the charges on to us. And I don't think that you should pass the charges on to us because, you know, it just makes for good customer relations. Just eat it.
You're right.
But if you 94 cents or 97 cents a person, because I'm sure they're finding a tax loophole around that.
Uh-huh.
And also, I'm sure they're going to charge us when we do want to switch our service. They're going to charge us some type of fee.
That wouldn't be at all surprising if we're able to
switch
pull that
our numbers over.
Do you have more than one Sprint PCS number? Do you have two of them?
I have one. Yes, I have two.
That's why you're charged 94 cents. I just have one Sprint PCS number, and I'm charged 47 cents, which is exactly half what you're being charged.
Right.
But I'm also fighting Sprint PCS on this, because if you look at your contract, it says you're responsible for taxes and regulatory fees,
mm-hmm.
but this is not a tax or a regulatory
right.
fee.
Right, that's what I was pointing
and
out.
I added this up. According to the Wall Street Journal, there are about 18 million Sprint PCS subscribers. If you multiply that by 12 months times 47 cents, that comes over to over $100 million a year
mm-hmm.
that Sprint PCS is scamming off of customers. I'm currently fighting them on this, and I hope to...
Well, the thing with the representative I talked to is that I asked him, I said, I know it's not him personally, but I would like to have a name or address so I could send the complaint to.
Yeah, you know, if you educate the representatives about why you're upset, then they realize and they actually will talk to other representatives about this. And before you know it, you've started a whole big thing inside the company, which is
right.
great.
Well, he did put me on hold like twice, and he said he couldn't find any numbers. And I did explain. I said, well, unless he has stock in Sprint, and he's getting a part of that money, and he was laughing. Oh, I'm not getting. He said, I'm not getting any part of that when I explained it to him. And another thing, you had mentioned on one of your past shows that you don't know if Verizon is on the West Coast. Actually, they are on the West Coast, but they're only as a wireless service.
Yes, I've seen that.
Sprint is not the only people charging you a portability fee. I have a landline here in New York. Verizon charges the fee for the landline, which seems absurd. I don't think I'll have...
looking at my Verizon.
I don't think I'll be able to put my landline number on a cell phone sometime in the future.
Anyway, thanks for that call. We're going to go on to another call and see if we can fit in one more for tonight. Good evening. You're on the air.
Let me give you a quick buyer beware on the AT&T free-to-go phones.
Mm-hmm.
They only ever seem to have the $10 cards where you're paying 50 cents a minute. The $100 cards, on the other hand, are 13 cents a minute. The thing is, you don't actually need the card. So I was playing around downtown from store to store over the months trying to get the $100 card, and no one would stock it. And I finally found one vendor that was willing to say, we don't need the actual card. He made a phone call to AT&T, got the numbers, the little scratchy numbers on the back, you know, over the phone. And with my account number, he just put it on right onto the telephone. So... you know, you don't really need to. They warn you to go and buy that $10 card where you're paying 50 cents a minute just to have it on hand in case you run out of minutes. You don't ever really need the card.
So you've been looking for months for this?
I looked for about a month at a time,
mm-hmm.
a vendor that would stock $100, that would carry a $100 card when I was needing the minutes, and no one would carry it. They were only going to carry $10 or $25 ones in the downtown area. I know they're available in Midtown, but... all the downtown small the cellular phone stores and beeper shops, they would not carry the $75 or the $100 cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the only place I could get it was the AT&T office, the actual headquarters on Broadway.
Okay, well, thanks for the info.
All right, thank you.
All right, and that's pretty much going to do it for us here tonight. This important reminder, there is not, in New York City anyway, a 2600 meeting this Friday. So if you are making plans right now to go there on Friday, don't go there because the building's closed. It's July 4th, after all. The meeting is postponed 1 week till July 11th, so it'll be a week from Friday. That's here in New York. Other cities, it varies depending on the place. If the place that you have meetings in is open, then your meeting is probably taking place. If your meetings have official websites, check those. Go to www.2600.com/meetings. And, of course, all meetings outside the United States will be taking place as scheduled. Our email address, oth@2600.com. And I want to thank everybody for calling in, for being part of the radio program. We'll see you again here next week for Off the Hook. It's Emmanuel Goldstein. Good night. Stay tuned for the Personal Computer Show.
He feels pain. wasn't that fantastic? Hey, you, that was the... I don't get to listen to that show because I'm on my way here all the time. Stay tuned for the award-winning personal computer show coming up right after this message.
7, 48, 9, 50, 51, 52, 53. See how relaxed you're getting?
You're tuned to High Flat, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial, New York.